Duck.
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 Goose.
Oh, man.
Our town is being invaded by giant ducks.
Well, you know, actually, our town has only been invaded by a single giant duck. But our town's social media, it looks like a fleet of them. Because everybody's going down, yours truly included, getting pictures of the duck and themselves with the duck. And I thought it was going to be a huge actual, like, bath duck.
Uh-huh.
But it really just—it looks like a huge bouncy castle you can't jump in.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah,
we're not trying hard enough.
Is this like Patrick McGoohan in the Prisoner? Except for it's bright and yellow and has a beak.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. My name is Sam, and with me is Dave.
Hello, hello.
And Tyson, how are you?
I'm good.
You're as promised.
As promised.
Yeah.
I have fan.
You have a fan willing to leave you a voicemail asking.
I know, I feel. Yeah. And I've got to pay him twice now.
Yeah, I don't get that. Yeah, so it's Tall Ships this week, is that?
Yeah, Tall Ships Festival.
What in the heck is Tall Ships? I assume there are tall ships.
There is some tall ships if you walk further down the waterway. So it's just a celebration of sail and old replica boats. And
okay.
So it's pretty cool, some of the boats I got down there. So
that's neat.
One of my favorite pictures I have on my wall, there is a shot of, you know, Stadium High School, which everyone knows from 10 Things I Hate About You, the very castle-looking high school.
Yeah, I've never seen the movie, so, oh, yeah. No, okay. I've seen Stadium High School.
You've seen High School.
Yeah.
You have the advantage, but yeah. But most people do know of, if you remember that movie, Padua High School, that was filmed at Stadium. I have a shot from the water of the high school on the top of the cliff and the Lady Washington, which is a two-masted schooner-style, like, old-school boat. Full sail coming into the harbor, and it's just this amazing picture. The only problem with the picture is two things. One, there's power lines going right through the middle of it, which, you know, you can't get rid of that. And two, the water is just brown. It is just disgustingly brown.
Is this from the 90s when the Asarco plant was still running? Or
I don't think so. I think it's actually just silt from the
Commencement Bay.
But yeah, it doesn't look good.
Where's the stadium?
The stadium is
right next to it.
Right next to it, yeah.
Okay. All right. So it actually has a stadium. That's why they call it Stadium High School?
Yeah.
Creative!
There's a football field there, and I think there was an article once upon a time calling it the best view in high school sports, because it looks over Commencement Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Browns Point. So. Yeah.
Fantastic. So, best words, I guess. We haven't done politics in a while. A bit muted this week, because I think, you know, the big news is somebody shot up a baseball game, which is kind of a pain for me, because when I get tired of politics, I usually go to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, I'm tired of talking about politics. Let's talk about baseball. Oh, wait, no.
still politics this week.
Yeah, still politics this week. But we're not really talking about that, because, another shooting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there were only like three this week, weren't there? Three major ones?
Track.
Yeah.
Sad. That's sad, but yeah, I lose track of them.
Yeah.
Yikes. Six individuals from the Presidential Advisory Council on HIV/AIDS publicly announced their resignations in an open letter published by Newsweek. Scott Schoetz, writing on behalf of his colleagues, lamented that they no longer felt that the group could effectively advocate for people living with HIV within the confines of an advisory body to a president who simply does not care. Schoetz contended that the current administration has no strategy to address the ongoing HIV/AIDS epidemic, seeks zero input from experts to formulate HIV policy, and pushes legislation that will harm people living with HIV and halt or reverse important gains made in the fight against the disease, a reference to the push to repeal Obamacare. Trump removed the Office of National AIDS Policy website upon assuming the presidency and has yet to appoint a lead for the office.
So my first thought is, shockingly enough, President Trump does not care about something that doesn't immediately affect him.
Right.
Amazing. Like, stop the presses. But this is really scary because, you know, a large part of why the AIDS epidemic became an epidemic was because lack of presidential support for research. When Reagan heard about it, like when we were first learning about AIDS in the early 80s, Reagan didn't care because he thought it was just a gay disease. So he would refuse to fund research. He wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't shine a light on it. And that set research back years.
Right.
And I hate to think that, like, we're in a better place now than we were then, absolutely, but, like, this has a significant effect. People are going to die because this president does not care.
Right, because the NSF pushes a lot of a lot of research and funds a lot of studies on AIDS and research for a cure and for further treatment of the disease.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, to lose that funding is to lose a major push.
Right.
I think we are in a better position now because, you know, research has been done. Not every president has responded in the way Reagan did. And, you know, it's manageable now in a way that it wasn't 40 years ago.
Right.
Or 30 years ago. But, you know, the work isn't done because it's not cured. And yeah, we're kind of stuck there, but it literally does not care.
Right.
Anybody remember during the George W. Bush administration when people would say he doesn't care about this or that and everybody would get all in an uproar? And now when people say it, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the thing that's probably the worst about this is that, you know, like you said, it's a lot more manageable these days for us in the first world.
Yeah.
This HIV and AIDS is devastating and destroying entire communities in countries,
right,
in Africa.
Yeah.
And I mean, we are the global leader in trying to help them. And by not having this council to do their job, I mean, we're basically putting a death sentence on thousands, hundreds of thousands of people.
I would add that we usually go through the World Health Organization,
right,
for the stuff in Africa.
I'm
but
sure, right.
That's a UN thing. And it's not like we're big fans of the UN either.
Yeah.
I really don't know. Yeah.
It's just incredible that, like, this is such a simple thing. Like, the amount of budgetary resources that the U.S. government has that can be put to this is, like, you could make such a significant difference without even noticing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like dropping pocket change and then suddenly, like, thousands of people will live longer.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. that simple, but you know, we have this narcissistic man-child in the White Office that literally looks as like...
The White Office?
I was going to call them on that.
Yeah.
White Office? Oval Office? White House?
White Album.
The Oval House.
The Oval House.
But, more Ovaltine, please.
No, but like, I really believe that, like... The only reason he doesn't care is because he doesn't know anybody who's HIV positive or who's dealt with AIDS or has affected his life. So
right.
Why would he even think to give that money out? Like it would never occur to him that that would be a worthy way to spend money
mm-hmm.
because who cares?
Right.
Doesn't affect me. I don't care.
Well, it's, you know, is it going to affect him? No. The kind of people who vote for him, who voted for him, you know, who support him, not just voted for him, are going to see this as a good thing because it's, one, government spending, and two, we don't need to help those gay people.
Yeah.
And, right. You know, it'll play to his base. But that also, it's not that he just hasn't appointed anybody to this particular council. Isn't, like, he just had his first cabinet meeting. Was it last week or the week before?
Last week, I think it was, yeah.
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 And there's still a whole bunch of positions that he hasn't, like, filled yet at all, especially in science. He's just not doing the job.
Right. And he blames the Democrats in Congress for failure to get his cabinetees appointed when he's only nominated six.
Right.
Look, if you could get Betsy DeVos through Congress, you can get anyone through Congress.
Right. Yeah, you could literally, yeah, you could appoint a radish to this council and it'll get through. And it's not going to, you can't call it obstructionism when you're not appointing anybody.
Right.
At all. It's ridiculous. But otherwise, it's a little bit, I think it's like we had that week where they appointed Robert Mueller. And everything was going down, and I watched 87 hours of CNN a day because it was the only news channel I have on my fake cable service.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it feels like
87 hours. I think it was.
Oh, so you watched an hour.
Yeah. Everything is breaking news all the time. The world is melting. Literally,
actually.
Yeah, that one's true.
Yeah. I meant it a little bit more immediate than that. It's like the world is literally melting.
Where does this water come from?
Not just warming, but melting. A little different. Well, I guess not even.
You cannot hyperbolize in this world.
Yeah, no, you just can't. But now it's a little bit calm before the storm. Everybody's being quiet because they're waiting for the shoe to drop. Trump got a lawyer. His lawyer lawyered. No word on when that lawyer is getting a lawyer. It's literally lawyers all the way down. Everybody's getting legal counsel. There's rumors that, you know, Pence is back in Indiana
fundraising for a lawyer.
So I'm not, kind of a crap time for the best words because nobody's talking.
Yeah.
yeah. Except my favorite little sort of tidbit, and we didn't really write it up, but it's definitely the Trump's lawyer, who also has a lawyer, went public saying, like, Trump is not under investigation, despite the fact that Trump said, I'm under investigation, and the investigator said, Trump's under investigation, and the newspaper said, Trump's under investigation. But his lawyer's like, nope, totes not happening.
Actually, this is unique, because it's not Trump who's saying the weird alternate reality thing. It's usually Trump's advisor says he's under investigation, the Justice Department says he's under investigation, Trump says that he's just going to a lollipop store. But this time he's in on it, and that's weird. That's really strange. His Twitter abounds as usual.
Oh yes. Witch hunt.
Yeah. Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's so he says he's what's witch hunt about?
It was facing the biggest political witch hunt in history.
Okay.
Which is hilarious. Uh-huh. Like, okay. Yeah. Let's see here. Nixon, Kennedy, Lincoln,
all that McCarthy business.
Yeah. hey, let's go to other countries. Let's say what was his name? The Lord Commander, in England. Oliver Cromwell.
Oh, okay.
There's a witch hunt for you.
Yeah. Well, actually.
Thomas More, actual witch hunt.
Yeah. As it happens. Oh, man.
So, yeah, this is, once again, you cannot hyperbolize in this world anymore. It just doesn't work. But, yeah, it's the Trump thing. This is why I stopped following the news.
Well, you're right. You can't hyperbolize anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Conservative musician and excuse for repealing the Second Amendment, Ted Nugent, called for an end to violent rhetoric in the aftermath of the shooting at the congressional softball practice. Nugent, who has previously used incredibly violent imagery in his criticism of the left, said that his wife convinced him that he should step back from those statements, saying, I'm not going to engage in that kind of hateful rhetoric anymore. He also encouraged people on both sides of the aisle to tone it down. Nugent doesn't apologize for his previous statements, including that Obama and Clinton should be hung for treason, but said that he doesn't want some idiot to misinterpret that he's recommending violence.
Good for the nudes.
This is I found this story really fascinating because when I first heard it was on Facebook, and you get caught up in that sort of meme bubble where somebody put like pictures of him with like terrible things he said, like suck on my machine gun Barack Obama and other even worse stuff, and then a picture of him saying, hey, we just need to tone down the violence, painting him as like a total hypocrite. But he's not actually a hypocrite in this situation. He is fully owning it. It's like, yeah, I've said some pretty harsh things. People are getting shot now. I'm not going to say that anymore. You guys shouldn't say that anymore either. That's like, do I actually have to give some credit to Ted Nugent? Is that something I have to do? Well, I don't have to.
You don't have to.
No. I mean, you're giving him credit for seeing that he's been a moron about this for the last few years.
Right.
I mean, he's not saying that he's not apologizing for it, really. He's just saying, I need to stop.
Right.
Yeah.
He's saying that the violent part of his sort of verbal imagery needs to be toned back because there is actual violence going on, which is a bigger step than I ever thought he would take.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm curious to see, does he actually live up to this? I can totally see, like, let's say let's say, Trump/Pence last 4 years, and then we have another, like, let's say Elizabeth Warren in 2020, and then I'm sure this violent rhetoric will come right back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm going to, rather than just assume the worst out of even my political enemies, I don't know if he doesn't know I exist, so I'm not sure if I can use that term, but I am not going to assume the worst out of him. I'm going to try and assume the best and say, no, he's recognized what this kind of language does in our society, and he's going to step back. I hope so. I really do.
Well, what bothers me about this is that he's only decrying using a firearm as an extension of his phallus now that his own particular ox has been gored. Now that it's politicians that he supports. Mm-hmm. who he supports mm-hmm. who are getting shot. It didn't say a damn thing when Gabby Giffords got shot.
It's true.
Didn't say anything after Sandy Hook. Say anything after
He said a lot after Sandy Hook.
Well, yeah, but I mean
yeah.
He's only toning it down now that people he likes, actually old white people that he likes, are being shot.
Right.
And it's really difficult for me to say good going, Ted Nugent, when you're that tone deaf, when you're that contextually insensitive.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I don't want him to apologize.
Okay.
Because I mean, it's a hollow apology to me.
Yeah.
Whenever I see somebody who's done something wrong and they apologize for it, it really doesn't mean anything to me. I also wasn't the person that was personally,
yeah,
you know, quoted to, you know, him wanting to do something to me, so it doesn't mean anything to me. But his actions speak louder than words. So we'll see. To Dave's point, we'll see what he decides to do. If he does tone his rhetoric down and start to become maybe a more pleasant person. But
well, I'm not go crazy here.
I'm not holding out a lot of hope, I'll be honest. But no, this is good.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Mormons and Baptists and exorcism. Oh, my.
Hasn't God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster "In God We Trust" on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an "In God We Trust" decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
48 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEX Radio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Da-da-da-da.
Billy!
Not again!
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert!
Wow, that's so credible!
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you, and to give me your lunch money!
Aw, anything for family! Here you go!
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. The Southern Baptist Convention approved a resolution this week that decried every form of racism, including alt-right white supremacy. The resolution was adopted one day after a delegate's proposal to denounce white supremacy was rejected for using much harsher language. Pastor William McKissick's resolution called for the denomination to reject retrograde ideologies, xenophobic biases, and racial bigotries of the so-called alt-right that seek to subvert our government, destabilize society, and infect our political system. Resolution's committee members claimed that McKissick's draft contained inappropriate language, and that resolutions required members to speak with grace and humility. The Southern Baptist Convention, which has an estimated 15 million members, split from the American Baptists in the mid-1800s over the issue of slavery. They were on the wrong side of it.
I was going to say, which side?
Yeah. So it's a whole Southern thing. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So a group of white pastors said that the African-American pastor that originally brought the document to them didn't know what he was talking about because he wasn't humble enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's let that sink in for a minute.
I'm uncomfortable now.
You should be.
It's been a day of stuff that sounds pretty good on the surface, but you get past that candy shell and it's just crap, crap, crap. It's the worst M&M imaginable.
Oh, they have been trying so many new flavors recently.
Yeah, it's like, okay, let's you know, call it what it is. Let's say that, you know, this alt-right thing has a definite you know, white nationalist, white supremacy flavor to it.
Right.
What with all the Nazis and Klan members showing up out of the woodwork. And then it's really bad. Racism bad, xenophobic bad, bad for the country, bad for us. We can't put it that way.
No, you guys are being rude. Don't be rude to the Nazis. Yeah. We have to be inclusive here.
and it's like, you kind of want to come up with a way, why couldn't you just include that? I read it. It sounds fine.
Yeah.
It works. I mean, the only thing I could think of is like maybe if it just really didn't fit with all the language around it and it's like some sort of foundational document, you know, it's like in the middle of the Declaration of Independence, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And then in the middle of it, in a different font, oh yeah, F the British, and then goes back to the original font. That's like, we gotta make it flow a little better. I could see that working. I could see them needing to do that, but going, we need to have more grace in it.
Right.
Person, it's like, no. That's crap. Yeah. That's just crap. No,
we want to speak out against this, but we don't want to look like we're making a stand
right
now.
Yeah.
Racism is not the hill we're gonna die on. Actually, it was about a
about 100 years ago or so.
That's the hill we got our start on.
Yeah, I don't want to just make fun of religions for making fun of religions. I want to have real reasons to make fun of them. And I want to, you know, it's like sometimes when religious people do nice things, you want to go, hey, this is a nice thing. And you go, hey, yeah, they're saying all right's bad. And then,
there's more to it.
Oh, yeah, jeez. God, can you give me something, religious people? Anything at all? I guess not.
Nope.
But at least, you know, I mean, small portion of credit where credit's due. At least they did adopt language saying, no, this was not okay.
They did ultimately say racists are bad.
Right, yeah. In a much softer, humbler,
it's a low bar,
term.
But it's one that got passed.
Actually, do they say that racists are bad? Or they're
not
just
directly.
We're not... Yeah, or they say racism has problems?
Yeah, I don't remember what they changed the writing to, but it was, they just toned it down a little bit. And
decried every form of racism, including alt-right white supremacy, Which is what they adopted, versus reject the retrograde ideologies, xenophobic biases, and racial bigotries of the so-called alt-right that seek to subvert our government, destabilize society, and infect our political system. One of those is way cooler than the other. Come on, guys. It's just, I don't care. It sounds cool. Yeah, go for it.
But they're Southern Baptists. They can't have anything cool.
Well, and so there, you look at that entire statement, it's like, what part of that are you actually like objecting to?
Yeah,
like what point to me the word that you're like, no, we can't put that in there. Point to me the word that you're like, no, we don't want to exclude those people.
Yeah, are they in favor of anything? Are they in favor of subverting? Well, like they might be in favor of subverting the government. Yeah. That might be it.
Yeah. Destabilizing society.
No, I mean for them, probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we are talking about the majority here.
Right.
Things are working out pretty good for them. On the other hand, fugitive fundamentalist Latter-day Saint sect leader Lyle Jeffs was captured this week at a recreation area in South Dakota after escaping house arrest nearly a year ago. Lyle Jeffs is the younger brother of former leader Warren Jeffs, who is serving a life sentence for child sex abuse charges related to the group's practice of polygamous marriages to underage girls. The younger Jeffs had been awaiting trial for multimillion-dollar food stamp fraud. Prosecutors allege that FLDS families were forced to turn over food benefit cards to leaders and subsist only on staples like beans and rice from a communal warehouse called the Bishop Storehouse. High-ranking members of the Northern Arizona sect reportedly feasted on meat, turkey, and seafood. Food stamp money was also allegedly laundered for printing costs of Warren Jeffs' jailhouse memoir and the purchase of multiple vehicles.
I remember we did this story a while ago when he disappeared from house arrest. And South Dakota? That's where he ended up?
Yeah.
I was so convinced it was like Argentina, like, you know, you're going to have to send the boys of Brazil after him or something like that. You know, I really thought like, this is not a man we would ever hear from again, never mind inside the United States.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've driven through South Dakota.
I have driven through South Dakota. Oh my God, there's so little there.
Pretty easy to hide.
Yeah, there's...
Actually, no, it's flat.
You can see for miles. Yeah. Yeah.
Depends on which part. In the Black Hills, there's a lot of trees.
That's true. That's true.
But yeah. Was he at Wall Drug? Because that's the only thing in South Dakota.
Finally, a reason to go to Wall Drug. Jeez.
The thing I find hardest about these guys, I know he was already under house arrest, but you know, if they think that what they're doing is so right, then why do they run? Like me, if their religion is better than everybody else's and what they're doing is the right thing and the noble thing, then shouldn't they want to be, you know, persecuted for their,
well, you know,
for their religion?
Jesus,
why run?
Jesus said that we'd be persecuted, but I don't want to actually have to go to jail.
Right. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, but let's talk about what they call, you know, Jesus died for your sins. He was dead for, you know, 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean.
I don't want to actually die.
Yeah, even their Messiah took it kind of easy.
Three days, that's enough.
Yeah, 3 days. Okay, done.
And my fill.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, that's about as much persecution as we need for all of humanity. Yeah, 72 hours.
We're
done.
Good.
Yeah. No,
That's the art of the deal.
Nicely done. There is the other side of this that, like, you know, I mean, this really hits to the heart of the kind of harm that religion can cause. Like, these aren't believers. These are con men. These are people who, like, told their very poor parishioners, like, you need to bring your food stamps to us and then go get rice and beans out of this warehouse, and then we're going to take that money and publish my dad's book, buy a couple cars, and eat all of the food that you all can't eat because you don't have the money for it, and you're eating out of our warehouse.
Right. Yeah.
Like, this is straight out con. Like, they were running a town, an entire town. It's like something out of a bad movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just.
Yeah, have you ever dealt with food assistance programs or food stamps or anything like that?
We were on food stamps for about a year.
Okay.
Yeah, same.
It's not a not a lot of money.
It's not much. Nope.
And he's doing this to the tune of millions of dollars.
$12 million, I think it said. Yeah.
$12 million. I was figuring it'd be like one or two megabucks. Yeah. It's 12.
Yeah, that's what I remember reading. Yeah.
What kind of a food assistance program are you on? Jeez.
Like I said, they were running a town.
Yeah. Oh man, it's like, how do you? I mean, it's. Hundreds of people, thousands,
probably thousands. Probably
thousands,
I'd imagine. Yeah.
I'm getting news. He was at a lakeside recreation center, and so he's not. Unfortunately, no reason to go to Waldorug yet. And South Dakota does have an FLDS compound, so that's probably where he was hiding out. And then
he's like 400 miles away from there. They said.
Oh, he was
when they captured him. Yeah.
Okay. Just hanging out by a lake.
Just hanging out by a lake in his car.
How you doing?
Like I said, he could have gone to Argentina.
Yeah, could have gone anywhere. Chose to go there.
South Dakota.
Yeah, it's amazing where you go through the government assistance program. You're forced to hand this did mind control stuff at this point.
Oh,
I mean, this is
as Becky was saying in the pre-show. It's not enough that they are going to control your sexuality. It's not enough that they're going to control your healthcare. It's not enough that they're going to control all these aspects of your life. But they're going to go down to controlling the food you eat.
Yeah,
like this is an organization that wants absolute control of every aspect of the people under them's lives.
Right. And
they're going to tell you who to marry. They're going to tell you what to eat. They're going to take all your money. And how is that, like, if you take off the religion badge, how is that not organized crime?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's almost precisely the reason why we talk about religion at all on an atheist show. It's because this is sort of the touchstone. The FLDS church has all of the aspects that we like to complain about. It's got women as property. It's got mind control, social control, all in the service of elderly men. It's got shunning. It's got all the stuff that we talk about. And so it provides a great example. But the other side of that is it kind of takes away from the lesser evils that perhaps that people not in crazy religions do. And
right.
It's easy to focus on stuff like this. It's easy to focus on Scientology because it's hilarious. And but it is, and they do bad things, but it's just when we talk about this stuff all the time, it's sort of, the Baptists kind of aren't great either.
Yeah.
The Southern Baptists specifically. I think I've talked about this on the show. When I was a kid, they kidnapped me.
Right.
Yeah, I crossed state lines.
Right.
They weren't like crazy or weird Baptists. They were just Baptists, and they weren't paying attention to what they were doing. But because they were doing it for the purposes of God, it's okay.
Right.
And I'd like to see them say kidnapping children is retrograde. Blah blah blah. Yeah. can we get them to do that?
We'll work on it.
Well, and even if you look at FLDS as the extreme version of Mormonism, and even Mormonism is like, they're very friendly people. Mm-hmm. They're, for the most part, very, they're contributing members of society. They're good neighbors. They, they have jobs. They produce, everything you want out of normal citizens.
Mm-hmm.
But then the church spends millions of dollars to fight against gay rights.
Yeah. Right.
They
turn Orson Scott Card into a shell of his former self. Yeah.
Man, I wish. Because his writing can be so good, but it's gone so bad.
Yeah. And, and he wasn't always this negative about, human rights.
Yeah.
And it's also a microcosm of that is like people who escape it or people who are members of that church. I don't see them. There are definite perpetrators of the crime, which is the people at the top.
Right.
But the people who are just in it because it's their religion and then either escape or get kicked out, which happens pretty frequently so that when birth rates are 50% or 51-49, not everybody can have 17 wives. So they boot out excess males. They shun them. Those are victims.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to what I was saying the other day is I am against Islam. I'm against Christianity. I'm against the FLD. I'm against the power structures and the people in charge. I'm not against the followers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of comes with the whole humanist thing, like humans.
Right.
To be part of that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm not so great at that some days.
I even said something.
2017, that was actually going to open up this show with, 2017 can Shazbot write off. I've had a really crap year so far, and it's I'll just come out and say it. We had to put a pet down this week.
Yes.
And the cat from Interrupting Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky will be talking about that more. So this year, I lost a house, had to kill a cat. Actually, I shouldn't put it that way.
I don't think you should put it that way.
Yeah. It makes it sound like not even doom music. It's like, I didn't. It wasn't like for sport. It was sad.
Yeah.
And Trump.
And Trump, yes. Trump.
Yeah.
And Pence.
And
but Pence. I even said nice things about Ted Nugent. That's got to be something.
Something's going wrong.
Yeah, I can't yet. I'm not
look
there.
On your face.
I'm not there.
Oh, man.
I'm not there. The group 1 Million Moms has demanded that the family restaurant chain TGI Fridays cease using what they deem to be foul language in their advertising. A TV ad campaign promoting $10 endless appetizers includes the phrase, "to the friends that say hell yeah to happy hour." 1 Million Moms is a division of the conservative Christian group the American Family Association. They characterize the use of the phrase hell yeah as irresponsible, offensive, inappropriate, and extremely destructive and damaging to impressionable children who may view the commercial and repeat what they hear. 1 Million Moms also objects to Cialis ads during primetime television, as well as Kraft Macaroni's Swear Like a Mother campaign that aired around Mother's Day last month. Maybe the Baptists could have adopted that language about racism. It probably worked just as well.
Can I rename this group Pearl Clutching United? Seriously, this is. Yeah, we were talking about the Baptists. This is the hill you want to die
on.
Someone said hell in a commercial.
Yeah. Irresponsible, offensive, inappropriate. I'm not a big fan of TGI Fridays, to be honest with you. But, I expect a check from you guys for the free advertising.
There you go.
Yeah.
I actually was kind of wondering about something. If you look back a while ago, I want to say last year, like a year and a half ago or so, they came out against the fact that JCPenney hired Ellen DeGeneres, a lesbian,
right,
as a spokeswoman. Uh-huh. And there were so many comments of support for JCPenney in their Facebook post against it that they eventually shut the page down for a week just to get away from that.
Yeah.
Then a couple months later, they criticized DC Comics for announcing that the new Green Lantern would be gay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And once again, there were so many messages of support for DC Comics that they had to shut down the page for a week. And now I'm looking, it's like, now they're going after the giants of TGI Friday's Hell Yeah commercial and Cialis?
Yeah.
Are they afraid? Like, have we broken them? Are they unwilling to actually criticize the things they want to criticize? Are they afraid to go after Big Gay?
Oh, I can't believe that's where you were going. Are we sure that we don't have this all wrong and that this is really just some sort of viral underground marketing thing?
Man, if I were a company, I would pay them to find something pissed at me about.
Seriously.
Please get upset.
they repeatedly shut their Facebook page down.
At least twice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. So twice.
Yeah.
That's not really repeatedly.
Maybe they
you do not have the tone of the nation. 1 million moms.
No. They don't even have 1 million moms.
Speaking of that.
Okay.
We do have a note here that I think always must be brought up whenever talking about 1 million moms. I went during pre-show to get exact numbers. 1 million moms Facebook followers, 90,232. Twitter followers, 408. Add that together, you get, real quickly, we'll call it 640.
Mm-hmm. It's only a couple orders of magnitude.
That's not a tenth of a million.
That's not even
you haven't even gotten a tenth of a million.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I kept thinking they were related to that 4 Million Men for Marriage, the M4M group. We'll continue this conversation after the break.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com.
I want to bring it back, but it's more than basic.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTF Pod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait a minute, not sacrificing children, that's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTF Pod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We got some announcements to talk about. Celebrate Independence Day and the arrival of summer with our annual potluck picnic hosted by Humanists of Washington and Seattle Atheists on July 4th. All area freethinkers, atheists, agnostics, humanists, doubters, heathens, and godless folk are invited to this family-friendly picnic. Food will be served from 1 to 3 p.m. Cleanup starts at 5 p.m. Bring your family, some frisbees, a blanket, sunscreen, and a picnic-friendly dish to share. We welcome volunteers, including teens who'd like to help with setup at 11:30 a.m. or lawn games. One of the tent pole events.
Yeah, fun one they do every year.
Yeah. Did I just say something?
Mm-hmm. Nope. Okay. It's nothing I could say on the radio.
Got it. Okay. I quite like the 4th of July picnic. It's a lot relaxing, and take the sunscreen thing seriously.
Yes.
You're either not going to need it, or as I discovered a couple years ago, you're definitely going to need it. Also, I don't have any people meeting Peggy's Challenge this week, but I'd like to talk about Peggy's Challenge. Peggy's Challenge is the challenge by Peggy from Kent to the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help us keep the lights on. Every dollar you give us goes directly towards show production. You can go to the website, askanatheist.tv. Click on the yellow button on the right-hand side of the page, take you right to our PayPal page. I also have a Patreon. Patreon subscribers will very shortly, sometime in the next week or two, get a video of some circuits that I'm working on. I'm putting an on-air light in the house so that people know we're recording. I'm showing you how I'm building that out. Patreon helps me build this studio out and do other podcasting projects and stuff like that. So we have some emails that we should cover. First one comes to us from Michael from Florida, who writes, "What do you do when your non-religious spouse is still a believer of BS other than religion, like fake medicine, cures, or anything else that is already shown not to be the case?"
I think this is an important point that we've covered before, and I know other people have covered before, but it's worth reiterating. We like to kind of pat ourselves on the back for being rationalist because we've walked away from religion. Mm. But being atheist does not mean you are 100% a rationalist, and you are still definitely susceptible to all sorts of other wrong-headed beliefs,
right?
Mm-hmm. Things like anti-vax beliefs, things like GMOs are bad for you, things that there is clear evidence out there that shows what, you know, where we should stand on these issues, and you could easily ignore that, particularly in this weird disinformation age we live in, where anybody can go online and find facts that sound very convincing to them to support their ideas.
Right.
So how do you break that? I wish I knew. Like, honestly,
solve a lot of problems.
If I knew the answer to this, yeah, our government would look much different now.
Right.
So. Right. I guess there's two approaches to this. There's the, do you try to correct it approach, or do you just try to live with it approach?
Well, one of them's healthy and one of them's not.
And which is which?
No, well, for, at least in my opinion, if you just ignore it, that's unhealthy,
right,
for everybody. I mean, in my past, what I've always done, if I have somebody that I care about close to me that is spouting or believes in something that is complete nonsense, not necessarily religion, but like Dave said, anti-vax or something like that,
mm-hmm,
I challenge them to educate me.
Right.
And through those conversations, you can continue to do, you just have to take away part of it. Mm-hmm. One part at a time, right? And once you remove enough of their support of why they believe that thing, they may turn and go, okay, you know what? Maybe I was wrong on this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may pull a Nuge.
Is that not
a thing yet?
I'm not supporting turning that into a thing.
Right.
Have we figured out that I'm not a fan of Ted Nugent yet? Have we sort of gleaned this?
Well, I think one of the key things that you're saying there is that this is a long-term process. You're not going to change someone's mind, right, in a conversation.
Right.
You need to just, you know, be supportively critical.
Correct.
You know, make sure you're not putting your relationships in danger. Make sure you're like having conversations that are in good faith. And the one that my wife and I always do is when we're having discussions on things we disagree, is every once in a while we check in. It's like, are we still having fun?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're arguing this political belief or this, you know, societal thing and everything, and it's starting to feel heated, it's like, okay, hold on. Are we still having fun? Because if you're starting to feel like attacked or, you know, getting in that lizard brain, then we can walk away from this easily and address it again later. And so,
at the risk of accidentally putting your relationship in danger, is fun really the barometer for something like this, though? Because if you're openly challenging somebody's beliefs, but you're doing it, and that's not going to be fun.
Well, it depends on. No, for I would say for me and my wife, it's definitely more of a fun thing. Like, a lot of my beliefs that have changed are started with discussions where we're just like throwing out, well, that's interesting you believe that. What about this? What about mm-hmm. that? And everything. And then every once in a while it gets to that point. It's like, look, I'm feeling a little under attack here. I'm not really enjoying myself. Can we step away? And then we'll come back later and continue the discussion.
Yeah.
And then over time, like over months, years or something, I'll find it's like, wow, she really has convinced me. And I never really had that hardcore, like, I can't think about this anymore. I need to stop. I need to run. La, la, la,
I think
la,
the
la.
Process is great. Don't get me wrong. My only question was, because if I had, let's say, you know, Becky believed in ear candling or something like that, I have to come up with something innocuous. But it's not innocuous. It can actually, you know, cause some harm.
Mm-hmm.
I'd want to challenge her on it, and whatever process that I would take to do it, I would not describe as fun. It wouldn't be, because ear candling isn't interesting to me. It's not like Scientology. Right. and so going through that process, whether it be, which I think is a great idea, is, you know, sort of flip the script a little bit and have right. them educate you on their thing and use right. it as an opportunity to question.
Right.
If I were doing something like that, if it meant that much to me, I personally wouldn't find it fun. And so I would need, in order to achieve that process, because avoiding attacking, mm-hmm. I think is incredibly important. I think that's really important, but I would need to find some other barometer to see that I'm still in comfortable space.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, fun is our shorthand, but it mm-hmm. is more like, are you feeling in a place where you're still willing to discuss, or are you feeling in a place where you just want
just
to shut
defending
down?
Yourself?
Now. Okay, yeah. So you're using fun as a stand-in
for like comfort.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That works.
Makes sense, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And every relationship you have in life is going to be different. The way I would talk to you about something I was challenging on would be completely different than the way I would talk to Dave, say.
Yeah.
Because we have a different history. Mm-hmm. So I may challenge you different than I would challenge him. So, I mean, it's, you have to know the person too. You got to make sure that you're being respectful of them as a person.
Yeah. I talked about this a little bit last week, is that I'm uncomfortable with friends that I don't have no disagreements with because it suggests that we can't be realistic with each other.
Right.
Not everybody's like that.
Right.
And I totally, I totally get that. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, hey, Sam, you jackass, you've done that.
yep.
And, you know, personally, my track record on this isn't fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've been married before. And that marriage ended kind of over stuff like this.
Yeah, right.
And I could tell you what we did, which was basically agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't ignoring it, but we decided that this wouldn't be an area that we would discuss. And in both of our cases, it ended up being such an important part of our lives that it just wasn't tenable to not talk about it.
Right.
So over time, the relationship just sort of disintegrated. In my present marriage, Becky was still a religious believer when we met.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't she wasn't like particularly hardcore or anything like that. But over time, she was convinced not by anything I did, but she experienced what atheists were like and asked me questions and stuff like that. And so she kind of, you know, she deconverted and credited me with it, and I was uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been my intention to go forth and create more atheists,
right.
By any method. So it set me back a little bit. So I felt like I took something from her, and it took me a long time to become comfortable with Becky identifying as an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very long form of saying I am possibly the worst person to ask this particular question. But I'm glad I got you guys here, because I think that's pretty good. Go in a little bit more on how you would sort of flip the script, because I think that requires I'd like to go into that a little bit more.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's depending on what their beliefs are. I mean, that's going to be really where you're going to, especially let's choose anti-vax as an example here.
Okay.
I mean, if you have children or you're going to have children,
mm-hmm.
that's a conversation you need to have now.
Absolutely.
before you get to your first doctor's appointment. I mean, so there's, you have to challenge those things immediately, and you have to understand where they're coming from. And, you know, I've said it before on the show that the only way we are going to find common ground with the people that we disagree with is understanding why we disagree with them.
Right.
And I may know their position, like I'm anti-vax. Okay. Well, I already don't like you because I don't like your position, but why are you anti-vax? You haven't told me, you just said you are. So to understand where they're coming from. And obviously, I mean, they've gone through some traumatic, you know, shifts in their life if they've deconverted from religion. And
yeah,
I mean, so, you know, it's easy for, you want something to latch onto that feels important.
And
so it could just be that they just want to feel included in a thing.
Well, I picked ear candling because it was relatively innocuous.
Right.
And didn't have a religious connotation,
mm-hmm.
Which is more of what I've had to deal with.
Right.
An anti-vaxxer, personally, I would attack. You know what I mean? Because
right.
that's a certain threshold where I would not be comfortable being with that person.
Right.
And that, and that's, you know, I maybe that's just me.
No, I would agree with you 100%.
Yeah. It's like there are certain issues which have that beyond which it would be difficult for me to maintain a respectful relationship with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-vax would be one of them. That whole racism thing would be another.
Right.
And yeah, I'm just, I am the really the worst person to ask this. My track record on this is terrible. I come from a family that, that debates anything and everything.
Uh-huh.
While maintaining a drunken facade of geniality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a person who prides on being direct,
right?
Because it's not that I lack I don't just insult people openly and call it advice.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's
right.
this, you have to communicate with people. You have to get, if you just attack them all the time,
right. they're going to shut down. They're not going
to
listen.
Yeah. And not a great way to have friends.
Right. Right, yeah.
But I come from a background where if you have a disagreement like this, eventually you're going to discuss it.
Right.
And yeah,
it's going to come up.
So
yeah, I want to say I come from more of a background of live and let live. Like, my family is definitely, my family's all religious, and we are very congenial with each other about not talking about it. Like, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about movies. Let's
it's
talk
better
about sports.
To not talk. Yeah, I come from a family that doesn't talk, period.
Oh, well,
yeah.
That's
if you come in, if you say anything more than hello, you've said too much.
There's a strong live and let live. I mean, we debate everything, but the conversation usually ends in, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you move on. It's, you know, for example, I have an uncle, I think I've mentioned this before, I have an uncle who converted to Catholicism, because mm-hmm. My family is not religious for the most part.
Uh-huh.
And although religious people keep marrying into the family, so the family is becoming increasingly religious. and so we don't really talk about religion very much, but we do talk about politics and religion enters into it. And he goes, I listened to your show, Sam, and God willing, you will succeed. And that's where it goes, and it's fine. And so, Michael, yeah, I have no answers for you.
Yeah.
Dave and Tyson have pretty good answers. I would go with that, and not, and
I don't know if I'd call mine pretty good answers. I got two failed marriages under my belt. Not necessarily for these reasons.
You apparently learned from them.
Yeah.
I've learned nothing at all.
Well, I feel like, not to take it, jump right back into best words, but doesn't that make you a perfect family values Republican candidate?
Yeah.
I start calling you Newt.
Damn it.
Hey, at least you're into space travel.
Yeah.
All right. We have Dean from England who writes, Sam is correct that we pronounce buoying as boying. And I also, I think the plural of Lord Buckethead is Lord's Buckethead, like attorneys general.
Thank you for that. Just further proof that somehow the English forgot how to speak English.
Oh, listen to you.
The comments, you know, and opinions of Dave do not necessarily reflect those.
Yeah.
Too many yous.
I did get a couple comments about how much and how little I know about UK politics from last week.
Oh, interesting.
Just from friends. It's like, wow, yeah, I really know this stuff. And then
this guy's
like,
wearing wigs and yelling.
No idea what was going on here.
You're wrong about everything, which is... So, I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good because I have that conversation every time I talk about American politics.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like,
no, that was a lot of fun getting into somebody else's politics for once. It's much.
Yeah, it was a good palate cleanser. Yeah. I'll definitely give it that. Because Trump. We have the Trumpitis in this country.
Inflammation of the Trump.
Oh, it's gotten consult puffy and orange.
Oh,
what do we put on it? Oh,
we have a cream for that.
Jeez. Go to the doctor, but got rid of that. And then Randy from Massachusetts writes, ketchup on scrambled eggs, gross or disgusting?
Wrong. Delicious.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Am I allowed on this show to call something an abomination to the Lord?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, it's an abomination unto the Lord.
Yeah, you guys are idiots. I prefer I do prefer a salsa on my eggs.
Well, salsas not ketchup, though.
I'd have the salsa first. I ain't got no salsa in the fridge. Straight to the ketchup.
Do you know what the worst is, actually? Ketchup, at least, like, you can enjoy your ketchup on your eggs, and right. That doesn't affect me. But when I'm at a restaurant and someone starts putting that Tabasco sauce, and the entire place starts reeking, and I can't even taste my food the same way because there's so much Tabasco at the table next to me, that really bothers me.
We're not ever going out to breakfast, then. Also a big fan of the Tabasco.
Oh.
It's the wrong kind of vinegar for that hot sauce.
Yeah.
And as an aficionado of vinegar...
Yeah.
Yeah, not a big fan. The wooden topped hot sauce, the other stuff.
Like Tapato or something?
Yeah, that stuff's pretty good.
That is good stuff.
That's the right kind of vinegar. And I know my vinegars. This is Ask an Atheist. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, three more news stories. Great, bad, and terrible. Not necessarily in that order.
I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back! This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC. 844-753-7842. And today we're still talking, I can't get the abomination unto the Lord. That is ketchup on scrambled eggs. Why?
I don't know. I literally don't know.
I don't know how you have this conversation about, describe the flavor to it. I don't know. I don't want to know that much about your tongue. So, I don't know. I do scrambled with cheese and hot sauce.
Yeah.
So I'm basically eating failed omelet at that point, really, more than anything.
See, speaking of abominations unto the Lord, I am that guy that hates cheese. Mm-hmm. And I get more...
Are you American?
See,
are
I get more... I would go as far as say sometimes violent reaction to that statement than anything else, any other opinion I hold. The fact that I don't like cheese, people are like, what the hell is wrong with you?
There's something wrong with you. I think you need to be checked out.
God, this is like... Okay, you don't like cheese.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm not that big a fan of chocolate, so...
Yeah, I don't like chocolate.
Yeah, and I get the same thing. What are you doing?
What's wrong with you? Yeah.
What's your opinions on bacon?
I had some this morning.
Oh.
Bacon's pretty good.
Yeah. I did have a friend recently admit to me that she does not like steak, and she was afraid to admit that to me because she thought my reaction would be... like incredibly condemning of that, but I'm like, you don't like steak? Good, more for me. Okay.
What is it about food opinions that make people that way?
Yeah, I know.
I wasn't gonna go in this direction, but it just occurred to me. Yeah, why are people like, for example, Mike Gillis right now is on a crusade, and I use the word quite intentionally, against sweet potato fries.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
What the crap, man? Yeah. Seriously.
You know what? I hate sweet potato fries, so I don't order
them.
Yeah. I mean, Becky orders them. She likes them. I can take them or leave them. Actually, I'd more leave them than take them, but
right.
I'd rather sweet potato fries than no fries.
Than no fries, yeah.
Because happen to like fries quite a lot.
Anything deep fried is
or
delicious.
Or chips. which buoy me, apparently, throughout my day. Which sounds really... That's generally not the way I play, but it'll work.
The worst part about it is when you have a hardline opinion about food, and you'll be, I don't like tuna casserole. somebody goes, oh, you haven't had my tuna casserole. It's not yours. It's the idea of it in general.
Yeah. Well, I get weird about certain things, about opinions like that.
Sure, yeah.
It's like beer. When somebody doesn't like a certain style of beer, or it's like, I want you to try this,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to specifically tell me why it's disgusting, because I want to learn things.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
And I don't know what it is I think I'm going to learn from this, but I keep doing it.
Right.
It's like when somebody sees a comedian, another thing like this is when somebody sees a comedian that they find offensive, but they're still laughing at their jokes. It's like, I want to know why you're doing that.
You're right.
Can you please explain this to me?
I have it both ways here.
Yeah. What's going on? Because I do it too. It's like, oh God, this guy's really offensive, but I'm still laughing. Why?
Right. Yeah.
I want to know how this works. And it goes like that. It's like, I really like lemon chicken, and I made friends like, who really hate lemon chicken, and, yeah. and I did that. I said, well, you haven't had my lemon chicken.
Right.
And so I made it for them. They go, this is worse. And I'm like, I know. Tell me why it's worse. I want to know.
There was a time, now, this is not a food opinion, but I'm not a dog person. I'm a cat person, which, you know,
mm-hmm.
you have dogs, Tyson,
right.
I know, and,
right.
you know, dogs are fine for you. I just wouldn't want one myself. But there got to be a point I was told so many times, oh, but you would love my dog. Oh, but my dog's wonderful. Oh, you would love my... As I had to start telling people, I hate your dog. And it's not personal against your dog. It's because I don't like dogs. Like, stop trying to force your dog on me. I don't like dogs.
Yeah.
You would like my dog, though.
Oh, jeez, there we go.
I
hate your dog.
His name is Ziggy.
It's a great name.
I don't like dogs. Dogs like me.
Yeah.
Like, every dog, hey, how are you? I'm going to be all up in your face. Yeah, smell my breath for hours.
Look at my butthole.
Yeah. Woo. My cats do that. My cat.
Shazbot.
Does that. Does that.
Shazbot.
Shazbot, yeah. Yeah. It still hits me that I'm down a cat. The heck were we talking about? I just totally
ketchup
lost.
Ketchup and eggs.
Ketchup and eggs, yeah.
And how delicious it is.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's really not.
Heretic.
I'm going for brunch when we're done here. It may be 4 p.m., but I'm getting some eggs in me.
Sweet potato fries. Why? Why die on that hill? To go back to Ken Ham, director of the creationist group Answers in Genesis and creator of Kentucky's Ark Park, has accused what he calls the secularist media of doing very poor or lazy research that relies on hearsay and making things up for their agenda purposes when reporting on his endeavors. He repeatedly accused reporters of deliberately hiding the whole truth about the tremendous economic impact that the Ark encounter has had on all of northern Kentucky. In the same piece, Ham credits the same media with influencing business investors and others in such a negative way that they may prevent Grant County, Kentucky from achieving the economic recovery that its officials and residents have been seeking. Ham also denounces intolerant atheists and secularists, how you doing, who he views as foes in a spiritual battle, and claims that such freethinkers resort to whatever tactics they deem necessary to try and malign his Ark Park and Creation Museum.
Sam, I think you missed something at the beginning of the story, how you always introduce Ken Ham stories now.
Ark Park.
Okay, I needed that. I feel better.
Ark Park. I just love it. I don't know why. Ark Park almost makes the $67 million seem worth it. Ark Park.
Let's not go there.
I tried writing this brief. I didn't write this brief because I read the, it's on all over, like Friendly Atheist covered it really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried reading the post on Answers in Genesis, and it's all over the place.
Yeah.
The Ark Park is either tremendously successful or completely failing, depending on what point he's trying to make in the piece.
Right.
It's such an, I mean, there's cognitive dissonance. There's Stockholm syndrome.
Uh-huh.
There's gaslighting, and then out past that is somewhere is Ken Ham. And like, I don't know what are you trying to say? Is it succeeding or not?
Are you potentially suggesting that Ken Ham might not hold to the actual facts when he wants to make an argument?
Yeah, sometimes he resorts to hearsay and very poor or lazy research.
Right.
if I'm quoting.
the fact that he believes that you know, multi-million dollar investors are going to walk away because of news stories. Like, if the people are there, they're going to build hotels.
Right.
They're going to build restaurants. They couldn't care less about what is going on in on this show or other shows like this.
Yeah, they're not listening to me.
Investors don't care. Investors care about one thing, money.
Right.
Is there money to be had? Then let's go get it.
Let me throw out this controversial statement. Warren Buffett doesn't take my opinion into account too often when he's making financial decisions.
Right. No, because if he did, we got a Patreon.
That's right. Just for him.
Just for him.
Somebody knows Boone Pickett sent him our way.
Yeah, and then in the story, he's like, he's extolling this pizza place because they get 3 or 5 more customers per day.
Right.
And he's like, but they're not even close by, and da 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 da. And then I wish I could report more coherently on this, but there's not a lot of coherence to be had. Not like even less coherence than Ken Ham is known for.
Right.
I mean, he's not, you know, he can usually form a sentence, and he was almost failing at that in certain places.
We're getting to him.
Yeah.
We're getting under his skin. Well, it's working. Keep it up, guys.
one of the articles he was referring to was when he calls like the secular media as if it's some evil group trying to put a stop to him and his buddies. Sorry, Ray Comfort, but
yeah.
No, but and this article was just kind of an expose in the Lexington Herald about this small town that's kind of near this park that was told, like, you're going to get a lot of tourism coming through here because we're building this park and so many people are coming through. And so this one guy opened up a hot dog shop, and some other people, like, you know, they're pouring money into their businesses expecting customers to come. And now this report is going around. It's like, yeah, there's not much customers coming. Like, people aren't coming to the town.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they're doing over there, but I'm telling you right here, like, the guy who runs the hot dog stand says, like, we closed for 3 months because nobody was coming.
Right.
It's that simple. And so it's like, this is not like some hit piece in some weird blog. This is a local newspaper interviewing people, telling them, who are telling them, nope, people aren't spending money here.
Right.
Wish I had more.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And the logo of Answers in Genesis looks like the worst time signature ever. I mean, what do you do in when you're conducting? You just point? Go.
Go.
No, don't stop.
One.
Don't count.
One.
Go.
One.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's just like, when you write it, it's just a quarter note, quarter note, a quarter note, a quarter note.
I think it's just a whole note, whole note, whole note, whole note, and lines between every whole note.
Well, no, because it's the number of beats per measure and the number of beats that a quarter note represents, right? That's how you do notation?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
So that. 1-1 would be a quarter note, a quarter note, a quarter note.
That's true.
So you can't do any other kind of notes in this notation, apparently.
Yeah.
Unless you got a whole note covering 4 measures.
Yeah.
Because this is fascinating stuff, talking about musical notation.
Yeah, I'm looking to move on here. If it's not clear, I can't read sheet music. Not for years or years.
That classic joke, how do you get a guitarist to stop playing?
You show him some sheet music?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A Lafayette, Louisiana law... What?
Huh?
Okay, a Lafayette, Louisiana congressman has received both praise and ire for seeming to encourage the killing of Muslims. Captain Clay Higgins, deputy marshal for the city of Lafayette, used Facebook to promote his view that the free world, all of Christendom, is at war with Islamic horror. He implied that Muslims were heathen animals and so-called radicalized Islamic suspects should be hunted down and killed for the sake of all that is good and righteous. Higgins was elected in December 2016 as U.S. Representative for Louisiana's 3rd Congressional District after defeating a fellow Republican in a runoff election. His platform included the position that D.C. and the PC liberals need to be reminded that our First Amendment guarantees the freedom of religion, not the freedom from religion. What is it with all these Mac people, man?
I'll say this. I spent some time over the years working in Louisiana in like Hammond, like way outside backwoods Louisiana.
Mm.
I'm not surprised there's a racist in Louisiana. It didn't shock me at all.
Okay. Yeah. All right. hello, but goodbye, all of our listeners in Louisiana. nice knowing you.
It's a beautiful state. Welcome back.
This could have gone in best words, I suppose, but yeah,
it kind of, it's this rhetoric, this whole idea of, you know, we as Westerners are Christendom. First of all, we're going to put that together, that my religion is also my entire society.
Yeah.
And it is at war with an Eastern religion,
right?
Not a specific country, or, you know, it comes down to people with turbans make me nervous. Uh-huh. And so therefore all our country is against the thought process here. I, as you can see, like here right now, I'm having trouble even enunciating how this works in this guy's head.
Use your words, not his words. Holy cats, his words are not very good.
Yeah, his words are real bad. Well, that's the problem. The foundational thoughts behind those words are real bad too. So I don't know if you can put those in good words. Just, it's, you know. Why can he not see, like, you could just as easily turn, you know, switch your nouns, switch Muslim with Christian.
Yeah.
Yep.
And suddenly he would, like, you know, that's what he's fighting against. Like, it's, I don't know.
So Becky has turbans or Sikhs? Yeah, I think that might have been the joke, Becky. I think that was the joke. He was paraphrasing an ignorant person. Is that adequately explained? Okay. I think I'm beginning to understand why Becky explains the jokes, actually.
Like I said, even when on episode she's not in, she's still here to explain the jokes.
this is the world we live in right now. Although, I mean, Christendom, that's not a word I've heard used by politicians recently.
That's sort of
reserved for a time in European history when everything was a monarchy.
Right.
Is this guy running for king? I mean, what the
or pope.
Fair. All right, one more story. And, you know, you're here, so dead baby. A Humboldt County, California woman has been charged with attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, felony child abuse, and aggravated mayhem after allegedly attempting to perform an exorcism on her 11-year-old child in a brutally violent manner. Kimberly Felder had stripped her daughter naked, forced sand into the child's eyes and mouth, choked and bit her, and was still trying to beat her in the head with driftwood when a local man restrained Felder before a sheriff's deputy arrived and made the arrest. Felder reportedly stated that she was trying to remove the demons from her daughter. Humboldt County Sheriff's Office credited John Marcial with saving the young girl's life, and Marcial in turn credited God with sending him to intervene in the abuse. So apparently, exorcism works. Because the demon left. Got arrested.
Uh-huh. What a terrible woman this is. A terrible, terrible woman. I'm glad. I mean, so reading this story, while she was doing all this before this guy steps in, there's like 10 or 12 people standing around watching it happen.
Really?
Yeah, there was a group of people watching this go down, and nobody did anything to stop it.
Somebody,
until this guy got
there. Yeah, somebody stepped in, and okay, maybe the driftwood is too much.
Yeah, well, and that was after he was restraining her, like she found a piece of driftwood. And I mean, this is awful, but you know what? The good thing about this is, I guarantee this is not the first time this child's been abused by her.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Maybe not to this level, who knows? Mm. But this kid has spent 13 years of at least emotional abuse from her. And it's hopefully she never gets to see her daughter ever again. Hopefully.
Yeah. I have to admit, it was a little hard to take it seriously when one of the things that she's charged with is, what is it, aggravated mayhem? that's not a crime. That's an Atari 2600 game. God. I hate to make... Well, okay, you know what? This is the whole dark humor thing. Because this is a... You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
There is no way that this is the first time this has happened to this kid.
Right.
And I'd like to think that the court system will do the right thing and make her mother go away forever
right.
from her life. But very rarely does that end up being the case.
Right.
And that's such a concerning component of this. And the other side of it is she is getting, I mean, this doesn't look like the movie Exorcism. Right. Sand in the eyes and
biting
and biting and a little less exorcism, more WWE. And it's what? And all in the name of demons and God and whatever. And then the police steps in and what does he do? Thank God.
Right.
You know that.
Yeah.
That's just sort of signaling prepare for more beatings.
Right.
Yeah. That was the moment when I was reading the story that where it's like the whole time, like it's horrifying, but at the same time, I can't help but think, okay, this woman is crazy.
Yeah.
This woman, she has sort of religiously founded delusions, but I imagine she would have delusions without religion. She would have, you know, she'd be crazy regardless. It's just this is the flavor her crazy takes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't. Okay. Let me step back there from that from a minute. I don't want to diagnose her, but that's just kind of the reaction I had when I was reading, as I felt like that's what I'm reading. It wasn't until I got to the guy saying, crediting God for being there to stop it, that I just wanted to pound my head against the wall and say, why do you not understand that if you're going to credit God for bringing you here to put a stop to the beating, you have to credit God for putting the beating there in the first place.
Right.
Right.
Like, why can't you see that wider picture?
Right.
This is basic problem of evil stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's basic problem of evil stuff, but I kind of want to go into a little bit of a thing here, because every time we see stories a bit like this where it's in America and somebody's doing something that's obviously crazy in the name of religion, we say, well, obviously that person's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And this is a problem that atheists, we tend to have where it's, you know, let's change the context a little bit. If this was an honor killing, would you think the same thing? Would you the first words out of your mouth be, if let's go from Christianity to change it to a Muslim honor killing, which is a thing that happens,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Would your first words out of your mouth was obviously this mom is crazy?
For me, it might, depending on if I don't, God, I talk about getting dark, but when you look at like how honor killings happen, if it's a group of people throwing stones, I would say, no, that's just a purely religiously motivated thing. But when you look at this, the throwing sand, the biting, the choking, that's not, you know, like you're saying, this is not out of the movie The Exorcist. Like this, what she's doing is weird.
Yeah.
It's,
but is it weirder than actual like sanctioned exorcisms? Is it weirder than snake handling? Is it weirder than it seems like when we say, well, obviously this person is crazy, we're taking fault away from the religion. And I think we're taking fault away from religion. And I don't think taking fault away from religion is necessarily a good thing here. Maybe the woman is disturbed in some way, but would she have had an outlet, such an obvious outlet, if she didn't have religion to contend with as well? Like, you know, maybe she's has some things where she, what do you call it? Schizophrenia, you know, or okay. Other voices or something like that. Let's, mm-hmm. as a, for instance, I'm not right. saying she does, where it's easy to, you know, in a secular context, it's easy to treat, a little easier to treat when you don't have to contend with the fact that most people believe that there are voices that talk to you from an outside world.
Right. And I wouldn't disagree with that at all. Like, okay. I don't want to, when I say she's crazy and that religion is sort of the flavor her crazy is taking, I'm not trying to say that religion is without fault. I think, like, it is, like, it does manifest itself in a very harmful sort of way.
Right.
But just something about the way the story reads, it feels like it's not just, you know, it's not like she was raised to believe like biting and choking and throwing sand and beating with driftwood is the proper, you know, established steps for dealing with demons. If someone was doing something like that is more sort of traditionally used as in a demonic exorcism, which is mm-hmm. an entirely absurd concept to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, I could see somebody who's perfectly rational being raised to believe that these are the steps you take doing something like that. I don't see somebody taking rational steps to get where she is.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I can see that.
I'll answer your question more directly.
Okay.
Yes, I would call somebody who does an honor killing crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
Anytime you're going to harm another human being or murder somebody, like that's,
I mean,
that's
obviously
crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, but I feel like when we say, well, obviously this person is crazy, we're, you know, when we talk about it in those right. terms, we're holding religion harmless. And right. I don't think that's right. necessarily a good idea.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's a constant conversation that atheists have. I don't know how many times I've had this conversation in, you know, at a meetup or at a barbecue or something like that, where it says, well, obviously that person is crazy. Like,
right.
well, why do you say that? Well, not all other religious people do that. Well, many do, though.
Right, right. Yeah, like, they just do it a little bit differently.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that far off from sanctioned behavior.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You take one step off, you know, exorcisms are a thing that happens. It's condoned by some of the largest, you know, variants of Christianity there are, and they're only crazy once they take one step off.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe the system itself is crazy and needs, you know, needs some change,
some balance to the force.
And then the other, just blaming, you know, oh yeah, I thank God for bringing me here. It's like, pray for Manchester or whatever, or pray for X, or pray for Paris or whatever. It's like, right. yeah, let's send more crazy to go with your crazy.
Yeah.
When, you know, it's like a side of crazy with crazy.
Comes with sweet potato fries.
This is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Thank you, Dave.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tyson.
Yep.
Fun as always. Our website is askanatheist.tv. Our email is questions@askanatheist.tv. Our Twitter is askanatheistwa. I have a sinking suspicion somebody's going to be mad at me for that Atari 2600 thing. just calling it and just trying to deal with a crazy world, I suppose. There's that word again.